So as we begin this morning, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are familiar with the terms, the 6 degrees of separation? Okay, a couple of you. Okay. Well, I was curious as to what that was, so I went and found a definition of it. And so I'm going to read it to you as we begin this morning. It says that the 6 degrees of separation is a theory that everyone and everything is 6 or fewer steps away by way of introduction from any person in the world, so that a chain of a friend statements can be made to connect any two people in a maximum of 6 steps. And so years ago, they actually made a movie about it with Will Smith. They said this was Will Smith's debut in drama. And then there's also the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And with Kevin Bacon, maybe some of you sitting here today may be connected to Kevin Bacon in some way, like Justin Timberlake and MC Hammer up there. You just never know. And so this morning, what we are going to take a look at is that there is a connection with the people in the resurrection story and you and I. And what we're going to hear about is their meetings with Jesus in John chapter 20. I want for you to, when you have time this week, to take a look at the whole chapter of John in 20. Because I'm only going to look at several verses throughout the chapter pertaining to the people that we're going to be discussing today. And if you are following along your outline, here's what we want to understand this morning, is that our encounter with Jesus changes everything. Our encounter with Jesus changes everything. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 40, it says, "But God raised him, who is Christ, from the dead on the third day, and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen." You see, we can make a choice today. One, we can allow Christ to have no impact in our life whatsoever. Or what we can do is we can say, "I've had an encounter with Jesus. He has changed my heart and my mind and my life. He has changed everything." And so today we're going to look at 3 different stories within John chapter 20. We're going to be looking at Mary Magdalene, we're going to be looking at the disciples, and we're going to be looking at Thomas as we talk about the 6 degrees of the resurrection. Not only that, we're going to ask the question, really, what is the purpose of the resurrection? And finally, we're going to have some time to reflect and to respond in all that Christ has done. I want to give some background before we get into our passage, because I believe it is important for us to understand that in the Jewish culture, when someone died, they go through a mourning process. That's mourning. And they actually have 5 stages in that mourning process. And I just want to look at one of the stages. And the stage that I want to focus on is called Shiva. And what Shiva is this happens 7 days after the burial. And in the first 3 days, the individual, the family, they don't say anything. They're in silence. And then between days 4 and day 7, there is where family and friends, they come to console. It's a time of intense grief, time of wailing, time of weeping. And so I wanted for us to get a picture of what we're about to experience together, because it's important for us to understand these individuals and what they were going through this morning. And so let's talk about some Easter encounters together. The first is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was someone who was overwhelmed. Mary Magdalene was overwhelmed. We just read that she ran to Peter and John and said, "They've taken Jesus. I have no idea where he is." And at this point now, Mary is by herself. And Mary looks into the tomb, and there were angels there sitting where Jesus would have laid. And they asked her, "Mary, why are you weeping?" Now, if I was Mary, I would think, well, you should know why I'm weeping. My teacher has died. But yet, what we see is that the angels have already declarated that Jesus had risen from the dead. So they're going, "Why are you sad? Why are you grieving? What is going on here?" And this is how she responds in verse 13. It says, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Mary still wasn't sure. that Jesus had risen. She doesn't know where he's been taken, and she's inconsolable. And yet, what changed here in this moment is that she encounters Jesus. In the midst of her tear-filled eyes, she's looking into the tomb, and she's asked, "Hey, who are you looking for?" And she turns, and she is so stricken with grief and stricken with her eyes filled with tears. She doesn't recognize Jesus standing right in front of her. And yet what Jesus does is he speaks to this brokenhearted woman by saying one word, Mary. He calls her by her name. And here's how she responds in verse 16. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, or "my teacher." She was overwhelmed with excitement. It's like several years ago, my family, we decided to surprise my parents with a visit. They just didn't know it. And so what we called was, we said, "Hey, we sent a package to you, but it's not going to arrive for a couple of days, so look for that package." And they were like, "Oh, that's great. Thanks for sending." Well, we were the package. And so we pull up into the driveway, and I knock on the door. My dad opens, and he's like, "Jeff, what are you doing here?" I'm like, "We're the package." He's like, "Mary, come here," you know? And they were just so excited that their kids had come to see them. This is what happened here. Mary went from being overwhelmed to being overjoyed. She went to being overjoyed because she encountered Jesus. She heard his voice. He said, "Mary." And she responded with utter excitement. You see, her joy was one of a restored relationship with her Lord. And Mary went from utter despair to unspeakable joy. For you and I, God wants to restore his relationship with you. And it is his great love he proved on the cross. And now he calls us by name. And hopefully you will respond to his voice. So we go from Mary being overwhelmed to overjoyed, and now we go to a group of disciples. And they were terrified. The group of disciples were terrified. In verse 19 of John chapter 20, it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews." Mary had seen the risen Lord in the morning. And now Mary comes to find these guys who are in hiding. And she says, "I have seen the risen Lord." And it doesn't really bother them because they're in a time of grieving as well. But they're also wondering, are we going to be the next on the hit list of the religious leaders? You see, they had killed Jesus. Don't you think they would take care of us too? And so they are in hiding. But yet when they encounter Jesus, they go from being terrified to being confident. They go from being terrified to being confident. Verses 19 again and 21 say this. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." This was a greeting, the word shalom. So they would greet one another with shalom. This was a greeting. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus is saying, "Listen, I'm greeting you. I'm saying hello, but now you're going to have my peace. You're going to have a peace that's internal. You're going to have a peace that sometimes you're just not going to understand. But what you're going to do with that peace and with that confidence is you're going to go tell my story. You're going to let the world know that I am alive." And see, not long after Jesus resurrected from the dead, about several weeks, it all changed. The church began, and God began to get his message out to the world. You see, what Jesus did not do to his disciples was, "Way to go, Peter, for denying me. Oh, guys, yeah, leave me on a cross. Thank you." He didn't reprimand them. He didn't scold them for abandoning him. He lets them know, "You're going to do something great for me. You're going to go share my story." And how this is going to happen, guys, is going to be in the power of my name. You see, for you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have nothing to fear when we live by the power of Christ. I'll say that again. We have nothing to fear when we live by the power of Christ. That is where our hope is. That is where we put our trust in, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we go from Mary, who was once overwhelmed, to one who was overjoyed. She comes to the disciples, and at that time there were 10 hiding because Judas Iscariot had already taken his own life, and Thomas was not with them. And so now we move to Thomas, the disciple. Thomas was one who was skeptical. Thomas was skeptical. The disciples tell Thomas the very same thing that Mary told them. They come to Thomas and they say, "Thomas, we have seen the risen Lord." And Thomas is saying, sure. Because, see, Thomas didn't doubt the fact that Jesus was dead. He didn't doubt that. He had an issue. He wasn't too sure if Jesus was alive. And here's what he tells the disciples after they tell him the good news. Thomas tells them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." See, Thomas was wanting a guarantee. Do you remember that pizza commercial where it said 30 minutes or less or it's free? Yeah, they stopped doing that. But there are things that we want guarantees on. When we take a loan out for our home, we want to have a guarantee, and the bank wants a guarantee. When we buy a car, we want guarantees. We want a guarantee on the box. We want to know the guarantee that if I buy this product and I'm not satisfied within 30 days, I can send it back with a money-back guarantee. Guarantee. That's what we want in our lives, just like Thomas did. Thomas wanted a guarantee that what he heard was true. But yet, Thomas goes from being skeptical, and he encounters Jesus, and he's convinced. He goes from being skeptical to being convinced. A week later, Thomas engages with Jesus. And Jesus says to Thomas in verse 27, he says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." See, Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe it unless I see it." And now Jesus is going, "Go ahead. Right here. Right here. Go ahead. What more evidence do you need?" And then here's what Thomas replies to Jesus. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." You are the creator of the universe, and you are going to be the one that rules my heart. I'm done doubting. I'm going to believe. I am convinced that you are the risen Lord. See, what Jesus wanted Thomas to do is he wanted Thomas to examine for himself the very thing he doubted a week ago. And now Thomas sees the guarantee of the resurrection right there in front of him. For us, what we here at Hope Community Church believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We not only believe that, but we believe that God used his Son to die for the sin of the world. And when he died for the sin of the world, he said, "It is finished." And as we learned on Good Friday, our all and always God did not fail. He was faithful in bringing redemption to humankind. And now, as Thomas was told, stop doubting and believe, both you and I, when we come to a place to believe that Jesus is Lord, and that he has died for our sin, that he wants to bring freedom to the captives, he wants to bring liberation to the prisoner, it's an act of faith on our part. Because for you and I, we haven't seen the risen Lord, physical, but it's God's work of his Holy Spirit that lives within us, that changes us and transforms us to become more and more like his Son. And there is one day where we will be like him for eternity. And we will say, "My Lord and my God." I want to encourage you, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you do that each and every day. God, you are creator of me, and God, you rule my heart. So these individuals went from overwhelmed to overjoyed, from being terrified to being confident, from being skeptical to being convinced. And so really the question is for us this morning, what is the purpose of the resurrection? What is the purpose of the resurrection? And the purpose of the resurrection is to believe. The purpose of the resurrection is to believe. If you've been with us as we've been going through this series called The Word in the Gospel of John, this is the purpose of the Gospel of John, is to believe. Listen to what John says as he ends John chapter 20. He says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, this was also a reality for the disciple John, because back in verse 8, this is what it says. It says, "Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first," speaking of John, "also went inside. He saw and believed." John's encounter was an empty tomb, but it says he saw and believed. Now, John and Peter at that moment, they didn't know the full scope of what the scriptures were saying about Jesus coming back to life, but he saw and believed. For you and I, it comes back to the 6 degrees. That's what it really does, because for us, we said that the 6 degrees of separation says that any two people can have a connection in a maximum of 6 steps. And so our steps begin with a cross, where Christ died for the sin of the world, and that cross is empty. And then we come to an empty tomb because God said, "I will raise him from the dead that you may have life." We have eyewitness accounts of Mary Magdalene, the disciples, and Thomas. And ultimately, we have a risen Savior. Because this morning, for some of you, you may be at a place where you're overwhelmed. You feel that your life is spinning out of control. It's spiraling down. You don't know which way to turn. For some of you, you may be at a place where you're afraid of what the future holds, and you would rather go in hiding, stay in the dark, lock yourself away, and paralyze yourself to not move with God. And for others of you, you may even doubt that there is a Jesus, that he is alive today. And you may have the thoughts of, well, I'm not good enough. Or do you understand what I've done? Do you know the things that I deal with? And Jesus says, "I do. And I paid it all." And so for you and I, here's the thing, the last thing that we have connection with these people in the resurrection story, is that with every person that we spoke of this morning, Jesus met them where they were at. Jesus didn't say, "Mary, get yourself together." He didn't say, "Disciples, quit being a bunch of wimps." He didn't say, "Thomas, would you get it together, really, seriously? You were with me for 3 years." But he met them right there where they were at. And when they encountered him, it changed everything. And see, this morning, for you and I, Jesus will meet you where you are at. It doesn't matter if you're overwhelmed, or if you feel afraid, or if you even doubt. He'll meet you right where you are at. And maybe this morning for you is just beginning by saying, "I'm going to make a declaration of faith today." And maybe for you, you begin by saying, "I choose joy. I choose joy. Jesus, I'm going to follow you and allow you to overwhelm me with your love and with your grace." Or maybe for you, your statement of faith today is, "I choose peace. I choose peace. I follow you, Jesus, and allow you to put to rest any of my anxieties and any of my fears." Or maybe for you today, your statement of faith is, "I choose life. I choose to follow Jesus because I once doubted, and now I believe. And like Thomas, I will say with my life, my Lord and my God. This morning, what I'd like to do is I've asked some of the elders to come up. And what I want for us to do is I want us to begin to think about this resurrection story. And maybe for you, in your heart, you're saying, those are my statements. But maybe the statements that I've shared are not where you are. Maybe you have another statement. And so I've asked the elders to come because as we just take time to reflect and respond to what Christ has done, we want to pray for you. And you may be thinking, that's really weird. It's not a weird thing. It's you coming to the place to say, Jesus, you've changed everything. And I just need some help in this moment. And you may say, well, I feel kind of weird if I got up. Everybody's going to look at me. Bring somebody with you. We want to pray for you. Maybe it's you just bring your family to say, we're going to follow Jesus as a family. And we want to pray for you. And once the time is done through song, then we'll close with a passage of scripture and then celebrate together. So I'm going to ask that you stand at this moment with me. And you may be thinking, well, how does this all play out? How do I say I choose joy, I choose peace, I choose life? Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's where it is. We focus our attention on our Savior. It says that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of faith for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is worthy to be praised. When we encounter Jesus, it changes everything. Let our lives be focused on the Savior, and let us choose to celebrate our risen Lord, not just here in this moment, but every day of our lives. For he is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen. Amen. Father, we come to you. We celebrate your resurrection. And yet we may be at places as we've come to this building and are struggling. The reality of our life is taking over who you are. God, you are faithful. God, you are loving. God, you are true. And so may we take these truths today and say, I will follow you. No matter being overwhelmed, no matter my anxieties, no matter my doubts, I will follow you, Jesus. And so now is your opportunity to come. It's your opportunity to respond to Jesus.